Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
I like reality television. I do. I'm guilty of it. I like it. Why? Maybe because I'm on air 3 hours a day on this radio show. I write a column in the Oregonian. I do TV myself. Maybe I like sitting back and letting somebody else entertain me. I do. I like going to movies for that reason. Our next guest, controversial, polarizing figure, authentic figure, though. Jason Brown, he's the coach that is featured in the Netflix series Last Chance U. If you haven't seen it, or season four of it, season four did not go well for Jason Brown. And I got to give him credit. He does interviews. He speaks, tells his truth. And, you know, he is a polarizing figure. And some people find the series vulgar and they say, how can you coach kids that way? Other people say, look at the success he has and look at the players who swear by him. He's joining us now. Jason, thanks for making time.
Hey, I appreciate you having me.
Where are you today? Where are we doing this interview from?
Ah, man, back in Southern California, back home, my roots, you know what I mean? I bought a home out here, and I'm actually toting rock around. It's a brand new home, so I got to do some things to the backyard, man. So I just spent a bunch of damn money on the backyard. So that's what I'm doing now.
Isn't that a silly thing? You know, like you got to go out. I think like if you'd gone back in history and you'd say, we will actually pay money for large rocks, people like founding fathers would be like, what?
No doubt. I mean, you got to buy the house for California prices. Now you got to pay a bunch of money to fix the dang thing up in the backyard. Or the homeowner association find you.
Jason Brown with us on Twitter, The Real Coach JB. All right, you watch the series, or maybe you get reviews of the series. Do you feel like the filmmaker did a good job and accurately sort of showing who you are and what you're about?
For 16 hours. Not overall, no. I mean, you know, they filmed me for 5,000 hours, so 16 hours of that was put on film, and obviously it's Hollywood. They got to get the rating, so, you know, I think somebody had to be the sacrificial lamb in the deal, and, you know, I don't regret one bit of it. Greg Whiteley, the producer, he's a hell of a person. He does a great job in that thing. I just think him and his crew, I think lack a little experience in the junior college world. And I think everybody does. There's a lot of intricate parts, moving parts to that business that a lot of people don't know about. And I think they're learning on the run as they've done a great job filmmaking. But I think they're learning how the junior college world operates, players and coaches in totality. So I think the next show, I think he's learned, and I think he's going to get better and better as long as the Netflix keeps improving the show. So, you know. I there's some things I wish they would have shown, obviously, but you know, I still sleep well at night knowing that I graduated more players than anybody in the country, and we got more scholarships than anyone in America, and 101 in 3 years, and 220 plus I've sent Division I in my career, and 20 plus in the NFL. I think proof is in the pudding, and you know, like you say, you don't see those kids bashing me ever. I've never had one, and. You know, the kids know the truth. The coaches know the truth. But, you know, they needed to sell. They need to put eyes on the show. And Hollywood, it is what it is. And it's true. It's who I am. But it's who I am in my world, in my profession, in my office, you know. That's my sanctuary, you know. I don't know what you do in yours. So for me to judge what you do and for me to tell you that you said the wrong thing on the air is asinine, and it's ignorant. And that's what grown folks do to me every day. They judge me based on 16 hours, which to me is mind-boggling.
Jason Brown with us. He's the coach on the Netflix series Last Chance U that you may have seen. Season four did not go well for you. Independence Community College parted ways with you at the end. And it probably hurts you that that's out there and that's documented on a day-to-day basis, and that, you know, the 16 hours is out there. But how did your life change once you got on camera? And how did the program change? I have to think it was like it's reality television, right? You suddenly have 30 extra players showing up wanting to be part of it?
More like 100. But yeah, you know, it's crazy, man. You know, everybody wants to be on camera, man. And it's not just the kids. It's the dang coaches. It's the administrators. It's teachers. It's unfortunate. You know, a lot. It's very, very powerful. And young folks just could not handle it very well. And that's what happened in the year, too. I mean, we were clearly the most talented team in America. But we had a bad nucleus. We had a bad staff. We had bad administrators. You can go on and on. I think everybody wanted camera time over helping kids. They wanted their own 15 minutes of fame, so to speak. And I think, you know, they film me because I'm who I am right now, is the same person I am on the dang camera. And I think that's why Greg chose me, and that's what he told me. And obviously, I had other folks that just weren't that way. And I had to fire a lot of coaches last year during the show. They didn't show a lot of that. I had to cut 36 kids. I mean, we had a very bad nucleus. You know, cameras are very powerful for 19 to 22, 23-year-olds. And then I got 22 to 25-year-old coaches that are young also that it was too powerful for, and they couldn't separate themselves from the kids. And I think it became a spectacle, a Hollywood spectacle. And unfortunately, you know, you look at the games we lost. We lose by 1-1, 1-3, 7. I mean, it was just one of those deals that we lost 6 days out the week. That's what I tell everybody. And we didn't deserve to win the seventh day, which is game day. And that means people ask that. That means we lost kids stealing at Walmart. We were smoking weed. I mean, you name it. My teams usually have always won 6 days out the week, where to last year we lost 6 days out the week. And everybody wanted some camera time. And right, wrong, or indifferent, they wanted to be stars in some type of way or facet, and it bit us in the butt.
We're talking to Jason Brown. He is the coach from Last Chance U. You're shown on camera. You're drinking. You're cussing. People are saying, I can't believe how profane he is. And I was a community college kid. I played community college football in California. I know the collection of personalities you have in that locker room, and I know that you must have felt very close to them. How do you explain to people who don't understand that locker room that, you know, you're not being cruel, you're not being inappropriate, that you're really reaching kids? And how do you keep kids in the program when you're talking to them that way?
I don't explain nothing to them because I don't really give a care, to be honest. But they're always going to have these naysayers and these people out there that think they know what you're doing. I mean, it's these keyboard cowards. It's not anyone in person, obviously. So, you know, it's a results-oriented business, to answer your question, not anyone else's question. But I'll never defend myself because, you know, those kids know. I owe no one nothing. I owe those kids. I owe those coaches the truth, the harsh truth, the reality that the real world's going to hit them in the mouth very, very shortly. And my kids are broken. Make no mistake about it. I get broken kids, whether they're from Alabama that got kicked out or whether they're a high school kid that didn't qualify. They are broken, and I have 6 to 18 months to fix them, massage them, rectify their past, make them a better person for the present, and allow future employability rate to go up in the future. I mean, that's my job, and a definition of a coach is to get you where you could not get yourself. I got 17 coaches' jobs. I got 101 kids' Division I scholarships in 3 years. It's a result-oriented business. So whispering sweet nothings in their ear to these kids that come from broken homes, single-parent homes. Here's a stat for you. 200 kids I brought in every year. Last year's team, 200 kids, two of them had both parents in the home. No father figure. So I'm their father figure, and now I have to tell them the truth. And these kids combat that for the first few months because they've never had a man in their life, and so they combat, they battle, they riff with you. And guess what? When the ones that buy in and understand that the mother, God bless them, the single mother, no doubt about it, they biologically just cannot raise a son the same way as a man can. You know, there's things that you want to teach a man as a man, like how to treat a woman. You know, my kids didn't call women the B word. I mean, I have them raise their hand. Hey, you got a mother? Raise your hand. Everybody raise their hand. Then I better never hear the word B out your mouth. Because every day is an interview, and whether you're a coach, a player, a CEO, president of the United States, every day is an interview, and the eye in the sky don't lie. And nobody's giving you a scholarship if you're sagging your pants and you're not sitting in the front row, you're not going to class, you're calling girls bees and saying the N-word and doing all the things. You don't see that on my show because it's taught. I teach it, but they don't show me teaching it. They just show me cussing at them. And you know, if you've ever found a kid bashing me online, let me know because I've never seen it because they know the truth. And that's what allows me to sleep at night.
Jason Brown is our guest. You've written a book. It's called Hate Me Now, Love Me Later. What do you mean by that?
5 weeks, number one bestseller, man. I never would have thought it. I'm blessed. It ranks above Tom Brady, Tony Dungy. I mean, it's crazy. I just can't put in words the fan support, and it's been a wild ride. You know what I mean by it is, I will cuss you out now and get you a scholarship later, so you can love me at the end when that result happens. And it's a result oriented business. When I go into the home and tell the parents, this is what I'm doing. I'm a man of my word. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. And some people can take it. Some people can't. And coaches as well. And hate me now, man. But, you know, at the end of the day, do you want to go work for Coach Saban? Or do you want to go work for McDonald's? I mean, it's a sacrifice. And I don't want to hear all these coaches that tell me, well, I'm not getting paid. Well, sorry. I didn't get paid for 15 years. I don't see nobody begging and crying for me, and that's what it is, man. I put in a chapter in the book, man, do what you want to do, not what you have to do, and I've done that for 15 years, and I've questioned myself many times because we all have to do what we have to do to make ends meet at times, but are you willing to sacrifice to do what you want to do at the end? And that's what I did. I made it through. I did what I wanted to do to get to what I want to do, and there's coaches that just, nowadays are just soft and enabled, and it's become, you know, there's an old adage, man, soft ass makes a hard head, man. And that's what I think the coaches in this generation have allowed these kids to be. And the parents have changed, the coaches have changed, the mentorship has changed. The kids have not changed one bit. It's all the grown folks in this deal. And I think we need to step up and tell these kids the truth. And I think we're allowing them to get away with things, and we're not coaching it. You either coach it or you allow it, period. That's just what coaching does, and I think we're allowing a lot too much.
Netflix followed season 3 and season 4 of this Last Chance U, focus on your program. How did they pick the kids that they want to feature? Because you can't focus on the every kid on the roster. And did they pick the right kids, in your opinion?
No one asked that question. It's funny. They show 5 kids a year. The first show, they showed the 5 kids, and people don't talk about it. 40 other kids signed Division I on that team. 40, which was a national record. It's an all-time record. I don't think it'll ever be broken. And they don't talk about that. And every one of those 40 kids started at the 4-year in the Power 5 school. They all started last year as a junior. And now they're starting this year. Obviously, I have a Doak Walker Award nominee, and I have a Jim Thorpe nominee. DJ Williams and Rakeem Boyd, respectively, and there'll probably be 12 to 15 kids get drafted after 2 years of the shows, which will be unparalleled. And nobody talks about those things, unfortunately. And I give those guys the credit because they bought in, they went to class, they sit in the front row, they did what they're supposed to do. The kids they showcase, to answer your question, are kids that had a little baggage that I think could generate some eyeballs on the screen and create some hoo-ha and get a Hollywood feel. The other kids that I think we're going to, you know, not that these other kids were bad kids. I think the kids only know what they know and don't know what they don't know. That's just what we teach them. But the other kids, I think we're going to straight and narrow kids. And I don't think they wanted to film them because I don't think it would have generated, ratings. So they followed kids that, you know, we're a little rough around the edges more than the other ones, even though all of them are. I think those kids needed a little more coddling, a little more mentorship, a little more molding and massaging, and that's who they followed. And, they're great kids, to answer your question. I think they followed the right guys, obviously, for the ratings they got for Netflix purposes. Do I think they followed the right guys? Not necessarily. I mean, you know, there's Jermaine Johnson out there, as the number one player in the country that's at Georgia now. It's Coy Dang, starts at Cal as a true junior. you know, we had two kids, one go to Vanderbilt, one go to Cal. That does not happen in junior college world, not in the same year, because, as you know, those two schools are pretty dang hard to get in, especially as a junior college football player. And we sent two of them first time in school in junior college that two kids have gone to those type of prestigious schools academically. So we did a lot of things that people don't realize, and we've set our fingerprints in the sand, so to speak, and we've made history there.
Jason Brown, our guest, football coach from Last Chance U on Netflix, no longer with Independence, parted ways at the end of the season. Let me ask you, you know, because Oregon State is a really interesting example here. You know, Oregon State, is, especially on the defensive side of the ball, needs help now. Pac-12 school needs help now. There's sort of a division among the fan base and media covering the team, like how reliant they should be on community college players. Is that somewhere where you can... you can reach into year after year. What do you think when you see a case like that where they're just bad on defense? They need bodies. They need speed. They need it now.
Yeah, I mean, just so you know, I've watched the whole Pac-12. I was on the sideline in the SC game last week. I haven't seen one player that would have played for me at Independence in the Pac-12. So there you have it. Everybody's going to say, you're crazy. No, I'm not. Look at my players. I had 28 Power 5 transfers every year. Remember that. Alabama, Clemson. Those guys at SC and Fresno State would never have played for me. I'm just telling you the truth.
In that game.
And Oregon State. In that game. Oregon State, UCLA, I've seen them in person. There's not a player on the field that would play for me. So they can stop not recruit JUCO if they want, but I'm just telling you, if you recruit Coach Brown's JUCO, you're going to get the best players in the country. Cal has one. Cal Berkeley did it. They have one. You know, you'll see. Washington State has one. Calvin Jackson. He'll probably be a draft pick. You know, those guys did it, and they recruited the heck out of me. Chad Davis is a starting safety for Washington State. He also was my kid. So, you know, It's ignorance is life-threatening, man, and you better be a JUCO product and know what it is. I mean, there's a lot of Pac-12 schools that have some JUCO coaches in that deal. Oregon has quite a few of them, all buddies of mine. I know that whole staff very well. They went after Jermaine Johnson for me. They couldn't land him. You know, obviously he went to Georgia, but I would have landed him. Give me an Oregon shirt to wear. But, you know, that's just how it is. I mean, I wouldn't be this bad at Oregon State. And I like Jonathan very well. You know, we go back a long ways. And, you know, he spoke for me at my clinic. I just don't know if he's got staff to go get him. And it's a result-oriented business. You either get the kid or you don't. And right now I see a lot of schools getting their butts beat on the West Coast. And just so you know, we're still top two or three, you know, hub in America recruiting-wise. How is USC and UCLA not landing these kids? How is Oregon not landing the kids they did when DP was there? You know, it's just, I don't know. It's just, it changes. It's changed. And, you know, it's our blood life. Recruiting is our blood life. The restrictions, the Division I coaches, Oregon State, all these guys need to realize that academics have become harder for these inner city kids to graduate out of high school, especially with having to have 10 of their core 16 classes completed after their junior year now. These kids are failing. They're not making it. So guess where they're going? Junior college. They're going to junior college. So wait on them. Go to the right junior college to get them graduated on time like me, 101 guys on time in December. That means they're at the 4-year in January, and nobody does it in America like me. And so, you know, yeah, I am boasting right now because, you know, if I wore – Oregon State polo, you'd have some freaks out there on the field. I don't see them right now. And I'm just telling you, you'd have Jermaine Johnson and Coy Dang. You know, now they're at Cal and Georgia playing against you. So, you know, it's our blood life. And coaching is overrated. Now, let me tell you, coaches lose games. They don't win them. Players win games. Coaches lose them. And I think we give ourselves too much damn credit and pat ourselves on the back too much. It's about building relationships, getting kids to run through the wall for you, and getting the best Jimmy and Joe in America. Screw X's and O's. I can go out there and coach with anyone in America, and they'll all tell you that because they know me in person. But writing a play on the wall doesn't mean anything if those cats don't believe in you and run through a wall for you. And I'm seeing them struggle with these coaching staffs in America right now, and they're not willing to give their all. So look at Antonio Brown. I mean, it's just one of those deals. It's relationship-based business, and they got to run through a wall for you regardless of the play you call. But that takes a special cat that has what's called the it factor. And, And there's only certain few of us that have it.
Let me ask you this, because if you know the recruiting world, I think you know we're looking more and more programs are hiring recruiters as head coaches. What makes a great recruiter? What is it about you? What is that it thing?
Yeah, it's an it factor. I don't know. You know, Tom Brady has the it factor. Tony Romo, probably the top five skill set guy of all time, but he didn't win a playoff game, so he didn't have the it factor. To me, if you want my definition of the it factor, it's an executive presence that everybody wants to go play for that guy or that girl. They want to be on that guy or that girl's team. Whatever reason that is, it's an executive presence that I think someone possesses, and that's what the it factor is. And I think I have it. I think recruiting comes down to it's a gift. I think everyone's always bought what I sold. For whatever reason, I think it's because I'm genuine. I'm going to tell them the truth, and I'm also going to fight for them, and I'm going to scrape, and I'm going to claw, and give them my shirt off my back, and they know it. I'm going to fight refs for them. I'm going to fight administrators for them. I'm going to fight everybody for them because I recruited them, and I told the mother in the house who's serving spam and eggs to their kids, I'm going to take care of your son. And that's what makes me the best recruiter in America. And that's why I always have had the best players. I mean, I had six kids that played in the Super Bowl at the same time. I had more kids in the Super Bowl than the two coaches coaching the game. So, I mean, you know, all these things. But, you know, okay, Coach Brown's too rough around the edges. But you got coaches out there like are fondling kids and stuff, and you're hiring them? Come on, man. That's all BS. They just scared to hire a guy like me because guess what happens when they hire me? They don't get to recruit my players, brother. So they lose their blood life. So, hey, I'll start charging these dudes next time I get a job. That's all.
Jason Brown with us, coach from Last Chance U on Netflix. All right, so you do the series, seasons 3 and 4. At the end of this thing, you're let go. You had that text exchange with a German player. You say you have no regrets. You're portrayed cussing and drinking. I mean, is there some part of you that wishes the Netflix thing never happened? You'd probably still be coaching there. Or do you accept that, like, hey, this was the path I chose?
Yeah, it's the path I chose. I think everybody, we create our avenues that we travel, I believe. I mean, we all come to what, you know, the precipice. I think we come to a stop sign, and it's, you know, you make a right or you make a left. I mean, I was raised by the largest, biggest dope dealer in United States history. I could have easily went that route. I'd be dead or in jail. I wouldn't have been able to help 220-plus kids get to where they couldn't get themselves, which is the definition of a coach. And I chose that route. You know, I could have easily went to the left, and I think a lot of people would have followed me to the left because of who I was and my personality. I chose to go right. And, you're still going to have your hiccups and your bumps in the road when you make the right turn. But, I'm going to patent this thing I'm about to tell you, and I've done it, legitimately done it here in California. I took the rearview mirror out of my car because at the end of the day, I was tired of looking backwards, and it took away from what was in front of me. And I think I'm going to do that the next job I take. If I do coach again, I'm going to probably take all the rearview mirrors out of the buses, and we're going to live one day at a time, man. And I don't regret it. I regret the text message thing and all that is so out of context, man. If you saw the show, you see the kid. I mean, you see the kid called himself that. They called him that. It's all a mockery. I don't blame the kid.
All right, so for people who don't know, the text message that the screenshotted, you basically said, well, I'm going to be your Hitler, right?
Yeah, I was basically saying, I'm your new boss now, basically, is what I was telling them because of, you know, the thing, this message is missing if you guys looked at the thing that the grown folks put out there on the media. There's messages that were deleted, obviously, by them. The truth will all come out. A lot of it already has. I mean, it's a joke and it's a mockery. It's unfortunate. I don't blame the kid because, just so you know, I got the kid a job on campus. I fed him every day. I told him straight up in his face, he'll never play here, but I will allow him on the team if he did certain things for me as far as helping me wrap our office, do a good job in that. He knew he couldn't play where we were. I mean, we had NFL guys, and he knew that. And I said, listen, it'll toughen your skin. It'll make you a better person in life, and I'll allow you to be part of it. Well, seemingly overnight, the kid became our worst cancer on the program. And once he started screwing with females, which I don't tolerate, and became a creep and was breaking in weight rooms and breaking into women's volleyball locker rooms and women's basketball, there's a problem. And I brought him in my office in person and cut him. without any text messages, because I never did the text message stuff. The text message I get caught doing, obviously, on this deal was a once-in-a-lifetime deal, because he went up there after I cut him and started doing this German march and cussing in German. And just so everyone's clear, the president at the time, Dr. Daniel Barwick, was of Jewish descent. I'll be damned if I'm going to have a football player representing my program disrespecting another race or creed or whatever have you. And that's what was going on. And he was up there making a mockery of us. And when I texted him that, it was a boiling point. And I said, listen, I'm basically your new boss. Come see me right now. And that's and when I sent that text, to be honest, I was still trying to help that young man because of what I knew he really was inside. And I think he was a victim of being on camera and trying to show off. And then he had some grown administrators take his side, which didn't like me. And it was just a setup and a witch hunt. And that's what it was, unfortunately. And it didn't screw me over, brother. Just so you know, I got a beach house, Cadillac, some smoked cigars. I'm living in California. It didn't hurt me. I'm always going to make it. I'm a hustler. It hurt 200 kids that were there. And so many kids that are now gone because I left could have been saved also. But, you know, grown folks that are ignorant, man, their ignorance is life-threatening, and they don't see that big picture. And they can do anything they can do to screw up over a kid or someone else at all costs. And that's what they did. And I don't think we had the right administrators or board members that wanted to have the gall to stand up and say, this is our coach, no matter what. Because we know, you know, what we did there. I mean, shoot, you know, it's unbelievable. So I just think there's the wrong, you know, attitude and approach as far as what we wanted, and I think I was just a bit too much. And if you ask me the question, if you go 8-2, are you still there? I would answer the same. I say no. I would still say I'm going. So that's just how it was, and that's how it really was there. And it was probably, you know, all good things come to an end. And now my AD's gone, like the president's gone, everybody there is gone. So it wasn't just me. So, you know, obviously a lot of people don't know that, though. But it is what it is, brother. I'll take the heat of it, and I accepted it. I got broad shoulders, and I was accountable for it all. So,
all right,
I'll never deny that.
You're a kid. You know Compton. You know South Central LA. You know USC. You see the problems with Clay Helton and USC. Can it be fixed with a great recruiter? What needs to happen there?
First of all, you have to have an LA guy in LA. I don't care what they say. It hasn't happened since Pete Carroll. I think Sark would have had it going. He's an L.A. guy. But obviously things happen. You know, I think you have to have an L.A. guy. L.A. guys relate to L.A. guys. I mean, I don't care what you say, where you're from. You know, it's just like me going down to Ole Miss. Mississippi's a different place now. When I go down there, I'm not from down there. It'll be different. I think I can walk into any home and recruit any kid, which I've proven to do over years. But can I be there consistently and coach those guys every day? I don't know. But I think an L.A. kid needs an L.A. guy, number one. Number two, yeah, I can go bring the best players in America to SC. Easy. I mean, I'm laughing. Everyone asks me that. I'm like, come on, man, that's a joke. But I'm not the head guy, you know what I mean? And it's a one-tongue language that you have to have. And so I don't see a one-tongue language right now, either there or UCLA or SC. I don't see a one-tongue language. I see a lot of other things. And that's just me outside looking in. That's just like one of these naysayers and haters. I'm becoming one of those guys, and I hate to be that guy because I'm not there every day. So, obviously, I know Coach Helton well. He's a great dude, and I think he's a hell of a football coach. I just don't know if he's the right fit, and that's what this thing's about, man. I mean, you know, just like we go 2-8, junior college, it's hard to go to win every single year. You got too much turnover, and it's hard to win these things, man. Everybody's competitive. We're all out there trying to – remember, man, USC probably got 10 to 13 scholarships this year. Everyone thinks they get 90. No, not a year they don't. And, you know, are they the right ones? It's hard nowadays. So, I'm not going to bash anybody. I know the profession and how hard it is. And those guys do a great job for what they have. I just don't know if it's the right fit.
All right, you've been out front. You've got the book. You've been featured. Everybody wants to interview you. Would Jason Brown be willing to take a assistant coaching job somewhere? Are you okay just being a teacher and coach who's behind the scenes?
Yeah, definitely. I've done it before. I don't know if I'm at that point anymore. I'm probably past that point, unless it's obviously USC, UCLA, of course. But if it's something, some junior college or high school or something, obviously I'd have to be the head coach, in my opinion, just because I'm a little too past that point, headed to, you know, towards the middle of 44 years old, you know, pretty soon here. I just don't know if I can do that. But, you know, obviously the four-year school, big-time program, yeah. I mean, you know, we all can learn every day. I don't care if you're older, younger. You can learn from younger and older. And I think we need to take the E off of ego, and it spells go. It's go time, man. And that's how I would approach it if it was the right position or right situation. But it just depends on the timing. It depends on the program. It depends on the administration. I mean, it's just so you know, every job's not a good one. And you know, it just depends on the situation and why you got one for me or something.
No, I'm just wondering. I mean, I'm just thinking, like, because I feel like what you've been through is it's elevated your profile. But I, you know, if Oregon or Oregon State want to bring you on, they're bringing you on as a recruiting coordinator or you know, analyst, whatever. Relationship thing.
I'm willing to do that for the right situation, no question. And those guys all know me. Everybody in the country knows who I am. It's not, and it's, you know what, it's not because of who I am, it's because, and it's not because of the show. I've sent 200 kids well before the show. It's because I graduate my dudes, and it's known nationwide I can get my dudes graduated faster than anybody in the country, and those dudes that are graduating are also by far the best players in the country. By matter of factly. So, you know, it's just my reputation precedes itself on that end already. And they all knew who I was before the show. So it doesn't shock any of those guys that came in my office. They just laugh. And they're like, you know, I've heard, trust me, I could say names and sit out names all day long and say, they told me, shoot, I'm glad I wasn't filmed 4,000 hours. They'd be calling me the devil instead of you, JB. You know, that's coming from big time Power Five coaches. You know what I mean? But guess what? I'm the devil. You know, go film Coach Saban all day, man. You think this guy's whispering sweet nothings to his coaches? Come on, man. It's unbelievably funny to me. And, you know, it's a results-oriented business, man. And these guys are making $9 million a year and getting fired if they don't graduate their dues, if they don't win games, if they don't have issues in the dorms and in the town and kids aren't raping and pillaging. I mean, there's so much stuff to this thing now, man. And I'm just telling you right now, if I can run the NCAA off topic, I'd make every single kid go to junior college for 1 year. It would toughen their skin. It would make everybody realize what they have when they get to the Alabamas and the Clemsons and the USCs, the Taj Mahal of the football world. They don't realize that, and that's why they're getting kicked out after a year and coming to junior college anyway. So it's some humble pie, man. It's football jail when you play for me, and that's just what it is. And you got to get in and out fast as you can, and that's what I my expertise is.
Jason Brown, the book is called "Hate Me Now, Love Me Later." Coach, we'll have you back on at some point. I appreciate your time.
Anytime, brother. You guys take care.
All right, there's Jason Brown. I want your reaction to that interview. 503-417-7575. I know you're sitting in the driveway listening on your radio. You have been locked into this. If you missed any of it, I will podcast it. Your reaction next.